Hallelujah. Welcome, everyone, to Arise Family Church, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We have been on a series, hallelujah, and it is called Faith's Secret Weapon to Take New Territory. And last week, we talked about expressions of joy, and we talked about joy being in the Hebrew, it can be translated to spin or jump around for joy, joyful and triumphant. The word be glad means to be gleeful, merry-hearted, joyful, rejoicing, to brighten up and to cheer up. Hallelujah. First, Psalm 16:11 said, in your presence is fullness of joy. And so from that place, we then took off talking about two expressions of joy. Two expressions of joy. We talked about shouting, the shout of faith and praise we saw in Luke chapter 18, verse 7. And then we looked into Joshua chapter 6 and saw how the shout of faith opened the door to what God had given them. Amen? God said, I've given you the city. So how did they possess it? Well, one of the ways they did that was with a shout of faith and praise. Glory to God. And then we went to Judges chapter 6 and how Gideon had brought deliverance to his people, and it came with a shout of faith, and it brought deliverance from the enemy and victory in their lives. And then we stepped over and we talked about a second expression of joy, and that was laughter, and how God laughs, and how we're instructed to laugh because of what God has already done, and laugh because of what God is doing, and we're to laugh, and as we laugh, we can mess up the enemy's plans and strategies. The Lord laughs. The Lord made Sarah to laugh, and she had a baby when it was impossible. I mean, she'd not really been barren for a long time. She'd been barren her whole life. I mean, it was 90 years of barrenness. That was her nickname. That was her nickname, you know, Sarah, who's barren. Right? You even look in, and we may get into another time during our Christmas service, but Zechariah and his wife, her nickname, she was called barren. The angel, Gabriel, talked to Mary and said, Elizabeth, who's barren, is with child 6 months. 6 months. She's not barren anymore. That was her reputation. That was her nickname. Not anymore. Faith laughs. We laugh before and after the victorious results. We laugh at the enemy. We laugh because of the goodness of God. There's a laugh of faith, just like the shout of faith. Laughter is an expression of joy and gladness. Hallelujah. And I finished off last week talking about my story about laughing. Laughed for about an hour. In the Holy Ghost, he was inspiring a laughter. It didn't start out inspired, it started out where I was just choosing to believe his word, speak his word, declare his word, and it got all over me. Laughter got all over me. Hallelujah. Now, let's talk about another form or expression of joy. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And while you're going to Acts chapter 2, I just want to read our theme scripture, which is Psalm 118, verses 24 and 21, that says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And verse 21 talks about what kind of day is that? Calls it the day of salvation. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We choose to rejoice. It's an act of our will to rejoice and be glad in it. And when we choose to rejoice and be glad in it, we get the same results. Amen? We get the same results. We get deliverance and freedom. We get access to the things that God has made available to us. Choosing to be joyful, to rejoice, to jump up and down, spin around, to laugh, to shout, hallelujah. Glory to God. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 13 says, others mocking said, they are full of new wine. They're drunk. Now, why would they say that? Let's back the bus up a little bit. Let's back the bus up to verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them. So they were all together, they were praying. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that they had been praying. For about 10 days. And all of a sudden, there was this sound from heaven. Because the day of Pentecost had fully come. The 50 days had fully come. It had arrived. And because the 50 days had come, Pentecost has arrived, all of a sudden, there was this sound from heaven. This earth-shattering sound that came from heaven, a rushing mighty wind. And along with this sound, there appeared what looked like fire. And there was this explosion and this manifestation of fire. And then scripture says it divided. This Greek word divided means to separate and to distribute. So this fire came and then it began to separate. And it began to be distributed to every person in the room. And it sat upon them. The word sat means settled. So this fire came, and then all of a sudden it began to separate. It began to divide, and then it began to come, and it began to sit or settle upon everyone. They were cloaked and clothed with this fire. Now, they weren't consumed because it was just like the fire that Moses saw in the bush. The bush was on fire, but it wasn't consumed. It's a manifestation of the presence of God. The fire shows up, and all of a sudden, it sat on them. It settled on them. It enveloped them. How do we know that? It wasn't just a Bic lighter flame on their head. Well, we understand chapter 1, verse 5 says, Jesus speaking, he said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And so we see chapter 2, verse 3, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The word baptize means to dunk, to immerse. They were dunked, they were immersed, they were baptized, they were clothed and cloaked with this fire. It wasn't just that little Bic lighter flame on their head. It settled on them. They were covered in this fire, this presence of God. They were filled with the Spirit, filled to overflowing. Verse 5 says, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. They heard the sound and they began to gather together. It's like, what is that? What was that? I heard that. Did you hear that? I heard that. Yeah. What was that? And then they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? These are all local folk. These are all local folk. And how is it that we hear each of our own languages, which we were born in? They've not been to our country. They've not learned it. They've not taken any courses. This just stuff wasn't around. You didn't travel much. Get very far from where you lived. How did they learn our language? says, we hear them speaking. Now, by the Spirit of God, they could be speaking these languages, but that's not what it says here. That's not what it says here. It says the people said, we hear them speaking in our languages. And then goes through all these different nations, and then the end of verse 11 says, we hear them speaking in our own tongue, our own languages, the wonderful works of God. They're speaking. Speaking in other tongues, speaking in a supernatural language from heaven. And God is supernaturally causing the people to hear the wonderful works of God being proclaimed and declared from these local folk in languages from around the world. And so they were all amazed and perplexed and said one to another, whatever could this be? And others mocked and said, ha, they're just drunk. Now that's just funny to me. It's funny to me because, you know, you don't go on the train or you don't go on the bus or you don't go on the LRT and you hear someone, a Chinese person speaking in English and go, oh, they must be drunk. Huh? You don't hear an African person speaking in English and go, oh, they must be drunk. You don't hear an Italian speaking in English and go, oh, they must be drunk. But these guys heard them speaking in their own language and go, oh, they must be drunk. So there must be more to it than what is just being shared here. They were drunk. They were acting drunk. It's not just that they were being, they heard them speak in these languages. There was their actions were giving them away. They were laughing. They were joyful. They were shouting. They were stumbling around. So these people mocked them and said, they are full of new wine. They're drunk. And verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judah and all who are dwelling in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. He said, these are not drunk as you suppose. They're drunk, but they're not drunk like you think they are. They're drunk, but not drunk like you suppose, since it is the third hour of the day. And I think the Amplified says 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Say, this is that. He's beginning to proclaim and declare, this is that. This is that what? This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What did Joel say? It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, on the male and female servants, those who are serving me, men and women, there is no distinction. I'm treating them the same. Male, female, those who are serving me, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome, notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is that. This supernatural experience and this being intoxicated because of the presence of God, this is that. He said, this is that. What God talked about, what Joel prophesied. This is that. This is that. God already told us about it a long time ago. And now it's happening. This is that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. This is that. An expression of joy is being filled with the Spirit. An expression of joy, being filled with the Spirit. So this will be our third expression that we're talking about, being filled with the Spirit. Verse 15. Ephesians 5:15 says this, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That doesn't mean a whole lot to me. The word means accurately. The Amplified reads this way, "Live purposefully." See then that you walk circumspectly or accurately or live purposefully, not as fools, but as wise. So apparently fools don't walk accurately. Apparently fools do not live purposefully. So it's important that we choose to be wise. And wise people live purposefully. Wise people walk accurately. Amen? And so we choose to live purposefully. See then that you walk circumspectly, that you live purposefully, intentionally, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Redeeming. Redeem. To redeem means to purchase. To purchase. So we need to spend our life on something. And it ought to be purposeful. He said, don't waste your time. Live purposeful. Purposefully. Redeem the time. Make wise purchases with our time. Because our time is the greatest asset that we have, and it's not something we can get back. It's not something we can get back. You know, it's only in the movies that you can time travel and you can go back. But in real life, we must live purposefully, intentionally. We must redeem the time. We must make wise purchases with our time, because when it's gone, it's gone. It's no more. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. Make wise purchases with our time, because the days are evil. Meaning that the days are evil in effect and that they are evil in influence. Right? If we just decide to go downstream, live like the world, flow downstream, it will cause an evil effect and an evil influence in our lives, because that's the world is influenced by evil, right? So he says we need to redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. So we need to make wise purchases with our time, and we need to start going upstream, and choosing to live purposefully and live intentionally. Not wasting time, not wasting our season, taking advantage of the opportunities, redeeming the time, making wise purchases with our time. Therefore, verse 17, do not be unwise. Once again, don't be unwise. But now this is cool. The Amplified says it this way. Don't be thoughtless, foolish, and vague. Thoughtless, foolish, and vague. In other words, to be wise, we would live purposefully. To be wise, we would redeem the time. To be wise, we would choose to not be thoughtless, foolish, and vague. Because the unwise are thoughtless, foolish, and vague. The unwise waste time. The unwise are not interested in purposeful or intentional. They just, whatever will be, whatever happens, you know, who cares? Why? This is kind of a mentality, especially when we're young. And then the older we get, it begins to dawn on us. Oh, I need to take my days a little more seriously. But, he said, the unwise are thoughtless, they're foolish, and they're vague. He said, therefore, do not be unwise, thoughtless, foolish, and vague, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to firmly grasp and understand what the will of the Lord is. And so we do that by spending time in His Word, where His will is revealed to us. Spend time in His presence, where the Holy Spirit can show us things. But then he goes on to say, how do we do this? How do we live purposefully? How do we redeem the time? How do we be wise and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is? Verse 18 says, and listen, do not be drunk with wine or alcohol, in which is dissipation. That word, again, that means nothing to me. So I had to look it up. And there's a bunch of words in the Greek, but two of them stuck out to me. It just says extremely bad. Extremely bad. Okay, so don't be drunk with alcohol, which is extremely bad, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. There's an expression of joy. It's manifested in being filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. In His presence, there is joy forevermore. Filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And so we ought not to be filled with alcohol, but we're to be filled with the Spirit. Can you see he's taken two hands, two sides of the coin. You can be filled with wine, which is extremely bad, or you can be filled with the Spirit. This is what you want, be filled with the Spirit. You can be drunk with alcohol, or you can be drunk with the Spirit. There's these two sides of the coin. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to be filled with the Spirit. So obviously this must be living purposefully. Obviously this must be wise. Obviously this must be redeeming the time and making wise purchases with our time. Obviously this must be, wise, because that's what he's just been talking about. He says, so it's not wise to be drunk with alcohol, but it is wise to be drunk with the Spirit or filled with the Spirit. And how does that happen? Verse 19 says, speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. How are we filled with the Spirit? How do we, matter of fact, the word be filled, the word be is a plural word. It means be being filled. Be being filled. In other words, there's this constant being filled, constantly being filled with the Spirit. How do we constantly keep filling ourselves up with the Spirit? Speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. This is part of an expression of joy. An expression of joy keeps us filled up. Filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Filled with the Spirit. Why do people get drunk? Well, because it feels good. And because they want to forget the troubles they're going through. The only problem is when they sober up, the trouble's still there. When they sober up, it could even be worse. But there's something about God. When we do it His way, we can be drunk in the Spirit. We can be filled with the Spirit. And when the effects kind of wear off, things can be better. Freedom and deliverance can happen. He can do something supernaturally on our behalf. Bring freedom and deliverance and provision and supply and wisdom and understanding that we didn't have before. Why? Because we did it His way. We got into His presence. I was talking about, I was a couple of weeks ago when we were speaking, invited to speak, and we just had a glorious time of praise and worship, and I could sense before I began to speak, I was already getting just a little, I had to kind of hold on to the pulpit. I was just sensing some intoxication, filled with the Spirit, a little bit drunk in the Spirit. We had a glorious service. It was a fun service. It was a funny service. It was a powerful service. People came and just repeatedly, they were blessed and encouraged and strengthened and helped. Because the Spirit of God was flowing and moving. He was teaching and ministering and helping. Hallelujah. So, just a reminder. We talked about these scriptures before. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Psalm 16:11 says, "In your presence is fullness of joy." Let's go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says this, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." I want to read it out of the Amplified Classic. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says this, "So repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovery from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord." Why do we want to be filled with the Spirit? Why do we want to shout the shout of faith and praise? Why do we want to laugh? He said, listen, repent. Repent means change the way we think and change the way we act. And the only way we can change the way we act is to change the way we think, because that's the only way lasting change comes. Repent. Change what we're thinking and change what we're doing to line up with God. He says, why? So that times of refreshing, of recovery from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. See, life, the heat and the pressure of life can get to us. And so what we need some refreshing. We need some relief, some recovery from the effects of heat, the pressure of life, right? We need to be revived with fresh air. Sometimes life can get very stale and stagnant. It's just, you know, every day you get up, you do the same five things, you eat and you go to bed and then you wake up and it can get very old. Why do we need to be filled with the Spirit? So we can experience this reviving with fresh air that comes from the presence of the Lord. This reviving of fresh air that comes from the presence of the Lord. This fresh air. This fresh breeze that just blows through. Hallelujah. It comes from the presence of the Lord. It comes from the presence of the Lord. And it's in His presence there's fullness of joy. And as we yield to this joy and as we laugh and we begin to shout the shout of faith and praise, as we're filled with the Spirit, these are expressions of joy, we get results. Deliverance, freedom, wisdom. There's just these results. And we've been talking the whole series this year has been talking about newness of life and taking new territory. In order for us to experience newness of life and take new territory in our lives, this is a key. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We yield to Him. Shouting, laughing, filled with the Spirit. These are these expressions of joy that we get to yield to. Psalm 119, verse 162. Psalm 119, 162. Psalm 119, 162. It says, rejoice at your word. So I want to finish off today talking about rejoicing. Some more rejoicing. Rejoicing. Not just joy, but rejoicing. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. In other words, he says, I choose to rejoice at your word like I would if someone gave me $5 million. I would rejoice. I rejoice at your word as someone who finds great treasure. Someone give $5 million. Rejoice. Rejoice. So this is a good question. How rejoicing is an expression of faith in what God has said he has already done for us in Christ. Rejoicing is an expression of faith. See, I rejoice at your word. I rejoice at your word. It's not just because it's the word, but that's the word that's the answer to the situation and circumstance in my life. That's the word, the answer that is the answer to the situation and circumstance in your life. Amen? We rejoice at that word because it's the answer we've been looking for. It's the answer. It's the hope. It's the will of God. Undoubtedly, I know this is the will of God for me now because I have his word. If there's a physical condition, when we find out by the stripes of Jesus, 1 Peter 2:24, we were healed. We were healed. If I were healed, then I am healed. Jesus already paid the price. So then I can begin to rejoice. Because my body has to change and line up with that word. I rejoice at the word as if I found a great treasure. Because the word produced faith for me to receive and experience what God has for me. The word gives you faith to experience what God has for you. So rejoicing is an expression of faith, right? Not complaining, not whining, but rejoicing because we believe God. Rejoicing is an expression of faith in what God has said he has already done for us in Christ. So how would you act if you just received the dream, the desire of your heart? How would you act if you just received the dream and the desire of your heart? I remember going to a meeting. I had some friends that were speaking, and I just got there at the tail end of the meeting. And there was a group of people up front, and my friends that were speaking, it was kind of, the service was basically over, kind of winding down. She said, "What would you do if God just did what you've been believing God for? How would you act? How would you act?" And this group kind of went, "Woo, wee, woo, ha." And it's like, that's not what she's looking for. I'm thinking to myself, that's not what she's looking for. That's not the expression. That's not the result she's looking for. And because they're not getting into it, she's going to wind things up. She wound things up. You know, that was it. Service was over. It didn't extend anymore. It was over. And it's like, okay, that's not the answer. How would you act? Remember, we were at a games night one night, and we had some friends, and this came up because we were in a service where that phrase came up. So one of our friends said, she said, I would pinch myself. I wouldn't laugh and shout. I would pinch myself. If God did my dream, I'd pinch myself. And it was like, interesting. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and it actually took me a while to think about it. And I came up with the answer because it's not true. But this was her mentality. I would pinch myself. Why are you pinching yourself? Because I don't believe it. See, that's the problem. That's why the question is being asked. The question's being asked, how would you act if you believed it and it just happened right now? How would you act? See, the response is, well, I pinch myself. Why? Because you don't believe it. And that's why you don't have it. Because because if her husband, who played some football, if he got a touchdown, she wouldn't go, oh, I can't believe it. She'd jump up and down and go, woo, 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 that's my husband, woo, woo, woo. You know, that's what she would do. That's what the question is about. How would you act if it actually happened right now? Because faith, rejoicing is an expression of faith. How would you act? See, in the world, they call it your happy dance. Your happy dance. How would you act if you just received the dream and the desire of your heart? How would you act? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because that's the way we're supposed to act. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Glory! 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 Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Hallelujah! 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 Woo! Woo! Yeah! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah. How would you act? How would you act You have to act that way ahead of time, like it already happened. That's what faith is. Faith is, I believe that I receive now, and I shall have. You see, Israel got in trouble because they complained on this side of the river. God split the sea, they walked across, and on the other side of the river, Marian tapped her tambourine, and they sung and rejoiced. That's what they should have done on this side. Instead of whining and complaining and murmuring, you need to rejoice because God already said He's going to deliver you. He's making a way. We put our trust in Him. We put our trust in Him. So, 1 Peter 1:8. 1 Peter 1:8. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:8. 1 Peter 1:8. Starting verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found praise, honor, and glory at the revelation or the manifestation or the demonstration of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, and His anointing, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy. King James says inexpressible. Joy, King James says, joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. So there's this point here of believing, and there is this point here of receiving. See, we believe that we receive and we shall have. But what do we do in between the believing and the receiving? Peter says here, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end or the fulfillment of your faith? What do we do in between the believing and the receiving? We rejoice with joy unspeakable. The expression of faith, the expression of our believing God and what He said, is revealed in our rejoicing. It's the joy, it's the rejoicing. Why? Because we believe that God heard us. We believe that God's working on our behalf. We believe that He's working it out for us. We believe what He said. That's why Paul said, when all hope was lost, in the ship, in the storm, he said, cheer up, I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God that it'll be just like He said. So, cheer up. Why? Because I've already cheered up. I've been rejoicing. Hallelujah. So this kind of joy, this kind of rejoicing and joy is beyond words. It's rejoicing. Rejoicing with joy unspeakable. It's more than just going, yeah, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm excited. Whew. It's more than that. It's way beyond speaking. Matter of fact, this kind of rejoicing involves our whole being, spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Glory. And it's full of glory. It's full of glory. So that's why the question is, how would you act if you received? How would you act if it literally happened right now? This is how I'd act. Then act that way because you believe that you receive. See, that's the act of faith. That's the expression of faith. It's this joy. And God goes, they believe me. I can tell it. Why? Because they're excited, they're rejoicing, they're jumping up and down, they're going, woo, hallelujah, because they believe me. And He's able to work. The angels go to work. The word's working. What stops? Will you tell me? What stopped Israel? An 11-day trip. Took them 40 years. Murmuring and complaining, murmuring and complaining. He said something, murmuring and complaining. That's what stops God. What gets God going? There's only one thing the Bible says that pleases Him. It's impossible to please Him without faith. Our faith is expressed in joy, in rejoicing, because we believe God. And it's full of glory, full of glory. What is glory? The word glory in the Hebrew is kabod. The first time glory is used in the Bible, the first time glory, kabod, is used in the Bible, it's talking about wealth, the wealth of Jacob. Laban's sons were complaining that Jacob had taken all the wealth of their dad. Their dad had already cheated him out for decades, and this was called God's justice, setting things right, putting things right, making things right. Hallelujah. So the first time glory was used, it's talking about wealth. The glory means this, heavy with everything good. God's called the God of glory. Why? Because the Lord is good. Hallelujah. He's good. He's the worker of good. He does good. He works all things together for our good. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. He's good. He's the God of glory, the Father of glory, the Lord of glory. Why? Because He's good, heavy with everything good. Good. And it's not like, how's the pizza? Oh, well, that's good. No. This is good, like, this is like excessively good. There's no ounce of bad. Like in God is light and there's no darkness at all. In Him is good and there's no badness at all. He's good. He's good. Hallelujah. Heavy with everything good. It means riches, wealth, abundance, and honor, and splendor. The glory of God would fill the temple. It looked like smoke. The glory of God would fill the tabernacle. Moses would go in and the cloud would come over. And everyone would stand at their tents and see the cloud come over the tent. And Moses would talk face to face with God in the cloud. In other words, he couldn't see him. That's why God brought the cloud. Because if you saw him face to face, you would die, Scripture says. So God had to put the cloud in there. So you'd talk to him face to face, but you couldn't see him because of the cloud. The glory, his splendor. The glory, the splendor. Brother Hagin talks about the glory of God showing up in his room when he was a teenager. See, when he was born premature. Matter of fact, he was born so premature that not everything developed. And the doctor didn't even think he was alive. So he told the nurse, just go throw it away. So she cleaned up and then was going to go throw him away. And he said, an angel must have poked or tickled me or something, because he either coughed or sneezed or wiggled or something like that as she's going outside to throw him away. And it's like, oh, he's not dead. He's alive. So she brought him in. He was so tiny that she had to feed him with an eyedropper. Feed him with an eyedropper. Give him enough strength. He said he didn't quite develop. He had this heart condition, and he was told he would never make it to the age of 16 because of the heart condition and this incurable blood disease. So he could never run. He could never do stuff like that because he'd get completely worn out and faint and fall over. And so he didn't have a regular childhood. And so a couple weeks before his 16th birthday, he was bedfast. He was bedfast for about a year and a half. And so he was wanting to be healed. And the doctor said, no, you know, nothing we can do about it. And so then some pastors would come and he'd ask for prayer and they'd say, just kind of pray like a last rites. No, it's all right, you know, it'll be over in a little bit. And he goes, I don't want it to be over. He's thinking, and he's paralyzed from so all he could do was talk and he could move his hand a little bit. He said it took him like a half an hour or an hour move his hand a little bit to just shovel a page over to get to the next page. It took him a long time to read his Bible. It took him a long time to read, you know, go from one chapter to the next. But they told him, you know, miracles. Well, they said miracles have been done away with. They're done away with. Oh, no hope. And then he was reading about the woman with the issue of blood. She heard about Jesus. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. Finally got so strong in her that she had to leave the house. And she went to Jesus, she touched the hem of his garment, was healed of that plague, that sickness, that disease. And she went to leave. And Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? And then he found her. She told the story. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. He didn't say his power made her whole. He didn't say God made you whole. He said, your faith. See, it's your faith that activated the power. Jesus said, I felt power escape from me. Someone yanked the power out of me, and I want to hear testimony. I want to hear what just happened. Because he didn't have a prayer line. He wasn't praying for anybody. He wasn't speaking. He wasn't teaching on that. It had nothing to do with him. It had everything to do with her. She yanked the power right out of him. And he said, daughter, your faith made you whole. And the Lord said to Brother Hagin, he said, did any of those preachers say that faith has been done away with? He said, no, they didn't. And he said, well, then they never will, because the only way you can get saved is by faith. He said, if her faith can make her whole, your faith can make you whole. Oh, all of a sudden, light came back. My faith can make me whole. And so he began spending time in the Word of God, building up his faith in regards to healing. I think there was one day the glory of God filled his room. The cloud filled his room. And he said, the glory of God, the splendor of God, it's like also like snow, the sun shining off the snow, you know, freshly fallen snow. It's got this glitter. So there's this cloud that filled the room, and it had this glitter to it. And his mom and his grandma, because he was living at his grandma's house, they were living at his grandparents' house, and they came to the door and saw this cloud, and his mom went to go in and couldn't go in. And so his grandma, you know, banged up against it. Wouldn't go. So she backed up to the next door and took a run, bounced off it again. She said, well, I ain't giving up. She backed up, he said, and she backed up through the kitchen. Kitchen, hallway, going at the door, and she ran full, and it knocked her back, and she fell over. They said they had to stand there for, I don't remember, an hour and a half or something like that until the cloud just kind of dissipated. They couldn't get in there. Well, that's what it says. Chronicles, you read 2 Chronicles. After Solomon finished praying his prayer, the glory filled the temple, and the priests couldn't even get in. No way to get in. Why? Because the place was filled with the glory. I had a friend of mine who said he was preaching and ministering in one of his services, and the glory cloud came in. And he said, even the next day, you could look in the back doors and you could still see residue of the cloud in that room. But it's in the glory where things happen. It's in the glory where signs and wonders and miracles happen. Brother Hagin would say, the glory's here because he could see it come in. He could see it roll in like waves of the sea, and it would roll in from the back. And sometimes he'd get up off the floor and get back up on the platform so he wouldn't get in it, because if he get in it, sometimes he would just go out. You know, the Bible says that the priests, when the glory came, the priests couldn't even stand to minister. They just fell out. Just all laying out there. Why? Because the glory just rolled in. So he would get up on the stage and just kind of let it go in. And so people would just fall out. But I say, sometimes it would hover in like fog. It would just kind of come in. And say, the glory's here. It says, whatever you need, just raise your hand up, lift it, take hold of it. And people would take hold of miracles, body parts, stuff that they needed. And it would happen. It's in the glory. And we see here, he's telling us, listen, believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, and it's full of the glory. So when we're rejoicing, and when we're being filled with the Spirit and shouting and laughing, the glory of God is at work on our behalf. His presence, his goodness, his power, his riches, wealth, abundance, and honor, they're at work on our behalf. He's working. There's another minister, Brother Goodwin, Brother and Sister Goodwin, pastored in Texas, and they built a number of buildings on their property, and he was telling another minister from Texas, he said, you know how I got all these buildings? You know how I paid for all these buildings? No. He says, I danced the money in. He rejoiced. He believed God's word. He did what? Believing. He rejoiced with joy unspeakable, full of the glory. And it brought in the provision and the supply. Brought in the provision and the supply. Hallelujah. He danced the money in. It means rejoicing. That's what we're talking about, rejoicing. That's what we're talking about, praise. That's what we're talking. These are weapons. These are faith's secret weapons of taking new territory. This rejoicing and this praise. It wasn't enough for Paul and Silas just to pray. They prayed and sang praises, and God shook the jail. God caused the shackles to fall off their feet. God opened the doors of everybody's cell. and not one of them left, the jailkeeper was going to kill himself. And Paul said, don't kill yourself. We're all here. They shouted and the walls fell down. They shouted and the enemy ran off. This is what we're talking about. These are not just stories to entertain us. This is the way we live to get supernatural results in our life. The situation and circumstances in our life, they have to bow and run off just like the Word of God talks about. But we have to do what the Word of God says. Oh yeah, well, I believe that. No, it doesn't happen by believing it. Jesus didn't say we'll have what we believe. Mark 11, 22 and 23 says, and 24 says, we'll have what we say. We must say it. We must do it. We must act on it. Doers of the Word. James says we must be doers. If we're not doers, if we're just hearers, we deceive ourselves. What does that mean? That means we expect a certain result and we don't get it. Well, I believe that, so I expect that result. But it doesn't come just by believing it. It requires action. Faith without works is dead. It's useless. It's lifeless. It doesn't produce anything. So we believe and we rejoice so the glory can work on our behalf. God can work on our behalf. His power, His presence, His goodness can work on our behalf and change the situation and circumstances of our life. And we can receive the end or the fulfillment of our faith. Amen. Do you get that? Rejoicing, rejoicing. Rejoicing is an expression of faith in what God has already said He has already done for us in Christ. So how would you act if you just received your dream and your desires? Hallelujah. We'll pick up here next week. Glory to God.